We've had a lot of prayers. I was praying down there. We're going to go on with the message. From 3D to capital L. It's different than in your bulletin, and I'll explain why in a moment. Let me explain why I'm doing this sermon. We just finished a sermon series on witnessing and what it means to do personal sharing. We talked about some of the principles for personal sharing. We also shared that we're living in a different age in which people don't necessarily just listen to you because you can quote a verse of Scripture. That it's really more about everybody wants to see how it really works and how genuine it is. And so this morning I decided that some weeks ago I would do a sermon on one of our doctrines. And I thought since it's Memorial Day, I'd do one on death and what we believe about death. But I thought I'd do it in a little different way. Rather than just teach you the Bible scriptures, I thought we'd put into practice, how would you share what you believe about death with someone who maybe doesn't see the Bible as the authoritative Word of God? How would you share it with someone who says, I know what I believe, but and what works for me, that's fine. And it may not be perfect, but I'm just going to share with you how I would share and how I have shared. I want to point out to you a quote from Mark Twain. It's from a notebook number 42 that he wrote in 1898. And this is what he said as I search for my remote. There it is, always the last pocket. This is what he said. All people have ill luck, but Jairus' daughter and Lazarus, the worst. Now that statement only makes sense if you recognize two things. Number one, Mark Twain wasn't much of a believer in God. Number two, he still knew what Christians believe in about what happens when you die. And in his mind, what he was thinking is, can you imagine Jairus' daughter dying and going to heaven, and suddenly she's back in her bed? Can you imagine Lazarus being in heaven for 4 days, and suddenly he's walking out of the tomb and looking at people that he thought he'd left behind? Can you hear that in the quote by Mark Twain? If God is a God of love, why would he do that to a friend or a little girl? I would not start out my lesson with that. I started out a sermon with that. There's a difference. Okay? But as you know, most Christians believe, and even those who don't even go to church often, still believe that when you die, what happens? Your soul goes to heaven and your body is in the grave, or cremated, or whatever. As we looked at our series on witnessing, we talked about last week that Paul says, I'm going to be all things to all people that I might win more. All things to all people. So in one-on-one discussions, you need to enter in where the people are at, not where you're at. You may wonder about the change of my sermon title. 3D stood for how we usually present this message. We talk about death, we talk about those who don't accept Christ will be destroyed, and we talk about those who do accept Christ will be delivered. The 3 D's of death. Death, destruction, deliverance. Maybe we need to share our beliefs today and talk about the capital L. That the teaching that we believe to be true from God's Word is really a message of love. It's a message of love. How do we give this message of love? The first thing we need to do is we need to learn their perspective. What do they believe? What's important to them? What do they know about what happens when someone dies? How do they view what's taking place with their loved one who passed away not too long ago? You see, if we start out with, let me tell you what the Bible says, and we don't let them share what they know, we may not know how we need to share with them. We may not know what verse to share with them We may not know how to empathize with them. We need to hear their perspective. We need to hear the depth of the emotion they're experiencing. Because whether we like it or not, in what we believe, our emotions have a great deal to do with it. When I was growing up, I would often hear in church and evangelistic meetings, we need to know what the Bible says and not base it on our feelings. That's an easier thing to say than to accomplish. Our feelings play a huge part in our thinking process. To simply tell someone who's lost a loved one, who believes that loved one is in heaven, and tell them, look, that's not what's going on, may not be readily received, and probably will not. We need to listen to their perspective. Having listened to their perspective, we need to share what you need to share, I need to share why I believe what takes place when someone dies. And what we as a church believe is that when you die, it's as if you are asleep. There is no consciousness, and you await the resurrection. We need to share why that's important. We need to share and be ready with Scripture if they want to hear Scripture, if they're open to Scripture. And we need to be willing to admit that we do not know an answer to a question they have if we don't know the answer. We need to be willing to say, you know, that's a good question. Let me think and pray about that. Let me study about it. I'll get back to you on that. We need to stay away from pat answers. If I were to share why I believe in the fact that you're just asleep until Jesus comes with someone who really doesn't know much about the Scripture, I'd probably start out by talking about the fact that I believe that God made man whole and he's going to recreate him whole or her. That I believe that God doesn't just do things part way, that the God I know, he created man out of love, he created them an entire being, body, and he created him a whole being, and he's going to restore him whole. Why don't you think about this for a second? What would it be like if all you could do is hear someone's voice and you could never touch them, you could never see them, you could just hear their voice? How satisfying would that be? Yes, it's better than nothing, but would it really be a full relationship? The reason that I believe, one of the reasons I believe and why it helps me so much to see God as a God of love is that God created man whole and he's going to restore him whole. He does that at the second coming. Why I believe in death as a sleep? It'd be hard for me to imagine being satisfied in heaven knowing how much suffering is going on earth. You say, well, isn't that what God experienced? Of course it is, but he's God. I think for me to know that my loved ones are still suffering and going through pain and heartache and experiencing sin and all its nasty effects and evil on this earth would be hard to enjoy heaven. Why I believe in death is sleep is because the other side of the coin of the fact that when you die, you go to heaven, from that teaching is that when you die, you go to hell and burn forever. I have a very hard time believing that a God of love would burn people forever and ever, continually recreating them so they can burn. That doesn't fit my picture of a God of love. Does it fit yours? I would share with them my belief that as I've studied, I've determined and studied and found out that it was the Greek philosophers who brought in the idea of a soul and a spirit ascending to heaven. It was not in the Bible. Just this week, I found a quote from someone called, his name is N.T. Wright. He's a very famous theologian of the evangelical world. He's the Archbishop Westminster Abbey. He wrote a book called The Resurrection of Christ. I started reading it. And he points out very succinctly that it was Greek philosophy who brought it in. And I prefer to go by the Bible than Greek philosophers. Finally, one of the main reasons I believe that death is asleep is because if we are just raised in pieces, raised at different times, death is not defeated. It's not defeated until we're recreated completely and entirely and restored to God's image as God created us to be. After sharing why I believe this, if they're open to Scripture, if they're willing to hear some of the Scriptures that make me believe this, that have been part of what makes me believe that when you die, you are asleep, I would be glad to share it with them. I would not share every text I knew about Scripture. I would just share one or two probably, unless they wanted more. Perhaps I begin with maybe Psalm 115, verses 17 to 18. The dead cannot sing praises to the Lord, for they have gone into the silence of the grave. But we can praise the Lord both now and forever. Praise the Lord. Now, I would probably ask the question, if you can't praise the Lord when you're dead, what would heaven be all about? And in the context of that passage, it's not talking about the wicked dead, it's talking about the righteous dead. I would point out that maybe there's some other scriptures I would look at, like the one in Ecclesiastes that said the dead know not anything. There is no knowledge in the grave. I would talk about maybe one of the passages that say that in the grave there is no love. And certainly I would point to at least one verse that was read this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. And I put it down and I will share it from four different translations so that you can get the flavor of it. God's Word translation says, it will happen in an instant, in a split second, at the sound of the last trumpet. Indeed, that trumpet will sound, and then the dead will come back to life. They will be changed so that they can live forever. Then the dead will come back to life. You see, if you believe that your spirit lives, that's still life. It says, then the dead will come back to life. Speaking of this resurrection. First, in today's English version, we shall all be changed in an instant, as quickly as blinking of an eye. For when the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised, never to die again, and we shall all be changed. Or the New Century Version. It will take only a second, as quickly as an eye blinks. When the last trumpet sounds, the trumpet will sound, and those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we will all be changed. And finally, the Living Bible may be one of the clearest. It will all happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. Sorry. For there will be a trumpet blast from the sky, and all the Christians who have died will suddenly become alive with new bodies that will never, never die, and then we who are still alive shall suddenly have new bodies too. Suddenly become alive. Perhaps I would go on and talk about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when it says, don't grieve as others who have no hope, but know this, that we believe Jesus died and rose again, and we believe he can bring with him all those who have died in Christ. One more thing. Psalm 6, verses 1 to 5. And I want to especially look at the last verse. Starting out, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. This is David writing. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? My understanding of heaven is that we will be praising him throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. My understanding of heaven is that we will remember God and praise him and thank him. That's what heaven's going to be about. And we will do it. And we will love the Lord with all our minds, with all our hearts, with all our being, with all our strength. That's the whole person. That's the whole person. At the same time, while we can point out scriptures and give why we think those who are dead are merely asleep waiting to be resurrected when they will finally come alive again, we need to be ready, perhaps, to give answers to sincere questions. We need to be ready to give answers about what about the thief on the cross when Jesus promised him, "You will be with me in heaven today." What about his last words on the cross when he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit"? What about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where Jesus himself taught that Lazarus talked across the chasm to his brother who was in Hades? What about that? We need to have answers. But I would remind you of something else. For someone who finds comfort and hope in believing that their loved one is now in heaven, you are not going to win them by just simply telling them they're wrong and showing them a few proof texts. It will take the Holy Spirit convicting them. And the generation we are seeing today, and I'm talking about people from young adults, youth and young adults, into their 40s and 50s, the society we live in today are more able to accept what you have to say if you can share why it is so important to you. So I ask you the question, what does this doctrine that we believe in, that you are asleep until Jesus comes, what does that mean to you in terms of your faith in God, your trust in God, and what it means to entrust your life and the life of your loved ones to him? To me, as I've already shared, it means that God does everything out of love and justice and compassion. And that teaching is consistent with that kind of God. You need to give people time to process. They may not be ready for a scripture immediately. They may just be ready to hear your own testimony, your own sharing. Time may come for sharing scripture later on. We need to ask God to use us in different ways. It may be that when you first start sharing some, they may want to hear scripture right away, and you may be able to give them a Bible study using scripture. And if you're not sure about our Bible studies and what we believe, there is a booklet out there that you can use that have all those texts that you can look over about our fundamental beliefs. It's in the rack out there. I thought I had one up front. I hope you hear what I'm trying to share this morning. Should we point to scripture to people? Absolutely. Should we be able to say this is what our church teaches? Of course. But if the doctrines we hold are not impacting your life, if the doctrines we hold are not enhancing your relationship with God, if they don't inform you about the God you serve and why you serve him, if they don't enhance and deepen your walk with him, then maybe you're looking at the doctrines as merely that which is true and not that which is transformational. And it needs to be both truth and transformational. On this Memorial Day weekend, when some of our church family is hurting because of the loss of the loved ones, the Petersons, the Turners, the Bells, the Warehams, the Lescos, what happens when you die is not just about the fact that you sleep until Jesus comes. What happens is the blessed hope. The blessed hope that when Jesus comes, a resurrection of great proportions will occur. All who are in the graves will hear his voice, and they will be raised to meet the Lord in the air so that they can be with the Lord forever. That's our comfort. That's our hope. That's our assurance. That's God's defeat of sin completely. It will happen on the day when Jesus comes back. Before I give the prayer, I would just remind you that the service for Brian Peterson will happen at 2 o'clock, isn't it? 2 o'clock. If you are here and you'd like to be with the family, there's a meal prepared in the fellowship hall for those who will be staying. May God bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace today and every day. Amen.